Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus Sparkling Water with a spark. So we do this a lot, where we look at the final score of a game that we didn't really watch, and we make our own conclusions based upon a game we really didn't watch. America does that all the time. That's what all the national guys do, is either they watch every game, which I highly doubt, or they look at a box score and they say, Bengals 41, Steelers 10. Now, I didn't watch a second of the Bengals against the Steelers. Bengals 41, Steelers 10. And you know what I can tell you about that? That Big Ben is washed up now. Big Ben is done. Big Ben is too old. The Steelers are too inconsistent. And I'll tell you what, this Joe Burrow can really put up a lot of points. I didn't watch a single second of the game. Let's see the box score. Ben threw for 261, one touchdown, two picks. Oh, terrible. Let's see Burrow. What did he do? Burrow threw for 190 yards. I don't think most people.
Spectacular.
I don't think most people thought that when they saw 41 points from the Bengals that Burrow threw for one touchdown, one pick. Burrow had a quarterback rating of 76.5. Like so, but that's how we operate. Is we look at a final score and we just make up these opinions in our head.
I'm not going to say that's how the national analysts operate, but I would say that's how a lot of football fans do. What?
Do you think the people that are on TV talking about the NFL watch every Titan game?
I worked on a show that was worked with national broadcasters, and I can tell you that the people who produce those shows and write those scripts and put in the bullet points do watch all of those
games. Watch those games?
Yes.
Watch the Titans games?
I did it. Yes.
And you watched all the Titans games?
I watched Red Zone.
Okay, so I've worked with you now for, what, 9 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you knew about the Titans before you got here.
Yeah.
You did not watch every Titans game.
I watched Red Zone. I had to be tuned in enough.
Caroline.
Yes.
Caroline.
What?
Your knowledge of the Titans on like the scale of 1 to 10. And I'd say right now you're like at like an 8.5. Because you don't know like the history stuff of it. Like,
right.
You know, I can pull out like the 2003 game against Buffalo.
No, I did not cover the Titans as intently as I do now as a broadcaster in Nashville.
When you got here, your knowledge of the Titans was like a 3.
Okay. And there's also 32 teams.
Right. And that's why those people don't watch all those games.
And I would know enough if I was producing a show and if I was working with national broadcasters and they said, write me a list of bullet points for these 5 games. I would know enough about those 5 games to tell an accurate story.
Who's the best player on the Bengals defense?
I don't know. I don't cover the Bengals anymore.
Okay, who was the best player on the Bengals defense last year when you watched all these games?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Jesse Bates, the safety.
Okay.
So that's the point I'm trying to make. And this
I'm
is
not a
where
national
I'm going
broadcaster.
But you were.
No, I wasn't.
But you wrote those scripts.
Jared.
This is where I'm going with what I'm exactly telling you, which is the final score of the game. People are going to look at the stats of yesterday's game. They're going to look at the final score, and they are going to say, the injured Titans were too injured to compete, and Tannehill's not good enough, and the Patriots are red hot, and the defense is unstoppable, and Mac Jones cannot be beat, and Belichick is the man. And that's not true. And I will say this. The score in yesterday's game, 36-13, that is a blowout. That game was not a blowout. And if there's any solace that I think the Titans and Titan fans should take out of yesterday's game, is that they went into Foxborough with all these guys who were out, and we know they're all important, and they went in there and did not play very well, and still in the fourth quarter had a chance to win this football game. The fact that their backup running backs could fumble twice and them still be down by 6 points late into the second half, I think tells you this game was a lot closer. If just one of these plays, and I mapped it out for you at the start of the show, all these plays where the Titans made mistakes that I feel like they gave New England either points or didn't score them themselves, like the Elijah Molden missed tackle on the first drive of the game, the Randy Bullock missed PAT, the Randy Bullock missed field goal, the Dontrell Hilliard fumble, the Dylan Cole dropped interception, the Deontay Foreman fumble, the miss between Ryan Tannehill and Chester Rogers that could have been a touchdown, the bad play call, fourth and goal. if just a couple of those get switched the other way, I think it's a game that goes right down to the wire. So don't let the final score, which was essentially 29 to 13 when the game was over, so 16 points, a two-possession game. It was essentially 29-13 when the game was over. The Titans got the ball back, and the Titans had to go for it down by 16 with 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. They had to go for it on a fourth and 14. They didn't get it. The game was over. They knew the game was over. They took all their starters out, and New England scored a touchdown to make it 36-13. So the game is going to look a lot different than the reality of how it was played. So that's the only thing I'm saying, is for all the national media people out there that I'm sure, and I haven't watched today, I haven't watched ESPN, I haven't watched Colin Cowherd. I'm sure Colin Cowherd today got on his knees and talked about how much he loves Mac Jones. I'm sure of it.
Well, because that's such an easy storyline to make.
It is, but it's not reality. Like, they're two totally separate things. Like, what actually happened and what people are going to think are two totally different things. And I think a lot of it is because people are comfortable thinking, well, Ryan Tannehill's really not that good, and he couldn't even throw for 100 yards, and Belichick's the greatest, and Mac Jones is the next Brady. And, like, they want to think. Colin Cowherd wants to think that. So that's what he's going to think. I told you, I thought this was a fine game from Tannehill. He didn't even throw for 100 yards. I thought it was a fine game from Tannehill. And I've been dogging Tannehill in games they've won. And people have been like, you just bashed Tannehill. There's a difference between what the box score says and what actually happened. I didn't watch a Sunday Night Football game last night. So when people tell me Lamar Jackson threw four picks and they won, I don't know the context of those four interceptions. I have no idea what happened in that game. I could tell you, Cleveland's obviously just not good enough, but I didn't watch. I think a lot of people are dumping on Baker today. I don't know what Baker didn't do. I didn't watch. Just like I didn't watch the other games. I watched Titans game. I'll tell you what, I watched, you know how quarterback, like, wins and losses is a quarterback stat?
Mm-hmm.
I watched Dallas play on Thursday night on Thanksgiving. Dak Prescott was best player on the field for both teams. Now, they lost, but I watched that game. And that's just the reality of how I feel about the Titans game is the 30, and I'm not saying this was a moral victory. I'm not saying the Titans should walk out of there with their heads held high, even though they lost 36-13. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, this game was a lot closer. If you get a crack at New England again, everybody's going to write you off at any shot of it. Regardless of whether or not Derek plays, I think it makes a much bigger difference if Derek plays. But I don't think that New England, like, I didn't walk out of that game thinking that the Patriots are going right back to the Super Bowl because Belichick's got them and they're red hot and they cannot be stopped. I don't feel that way.
Even if that is the national conversation, which it probably is, because I did just see a tweet from Fox NFL saying that they're, what if there's a Patriots Tampa Bay Super Bowl?
Oh, they want that so bad.
They want it so bad because it's so easy to market that. But even if that is the national conversation, and I'm with you, I didn't watch anything on ESPN or on Fox News or on Fox Sports today.
I didn't watch anything on Fox News.
I didn't watch
today
anything.
Either.
Yeah. Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter. But I'm just telling the fans not to get, like, all riled up based upon the final score.
Okay, that's so a message to the fans.
Right, like the Titans didn't get curb stomped yesterday.
No.
The Titans played a game where they had to play to a certain standard.
And they did it.
With
and they
a
made
team
mistakes.
That's really good. And they went out there and they screwed it up. That's the way I view yesterday's game. Let's go to your phones. 615-737-1025. Add that to the kitty. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans and truth. Chris is going to kick us off this hour. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, my friends, how you doing?
Good.
And Caroline, I can't wait to have you on the show on Wednesday. Thank you for
Chris, it's a Monday. Get to the take, please.
Excited to be there.
Yes. So she's coming on. But my truth on this game, I absolutely agree 100% with you on this, is because if you take away those mistakes, if you take away mainly the two fumbles, the Deontay Foreman fumble probably hurt worse than the Hilliard fumble. Because, Hilliard, you get 3 points, You get 3 points, but you're still in the game. The Foreman fumble was a killer. Dylan Cole, if he catches that ball and takes the other way, that's 2 scores right there. You're leading. And fired, if I saw it happen, I'm thinking he's going to pick this ball off. Like, that's normally, 9 times out of 10, fired picks that ball off. I think he's about a half second maybe early on that one. If he picks that off, that kills the drive for him. I just think it was the mistakes, like you said. That game was a lot closer. The Titans were right there the entire game. Those mistakes,
Chris.
You said it, I said it. You can't make mistakes against a team like that, because if you do, that's how you lose the game. And
had
a lot of Patriots fans telling me, yeah, number two, I said, we ran for 270 yards all over y'all.
I got to tell you, if I'm Belichick, thank you for your call, Chris. If I'm Belichick, I'm scared to death about what the Titans did run the football yesterday.
And that's what I don't understand is, did Belichick not expect that?
Well.
Or did the defense just not, was the defense just not able to stop it?
Watch the safeties. Because they were a lot closer to the line of scrimmage after about the 5-minute mark in the second quarter. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. I mean, the Titans just ran the ball at will. And that, I mean, if I'm Belichick yesterday's game, scared me. Because, again, this is all about each game. You know, in order to win the Super Bowl, you're going to have to win 4 games or 3 games if you get a bye. But you're going to have to win a handful of games in order to get where you want to be. Like, the Titans are going to have to beat these bad teams. And it's not going to be easy. They're going to have to beat the bad teams in order to get a decent seed in the AFC playoffs. And so if you're Belichick, you got 2 with Buffalo coming up before you even get to the playoffs. So you got to win those games. And it's going to take a lot. And then you're going to get to the playoffs. And I believe if the playoffs were to start today, the New England Patriots would draw, I want to say, the Chargers in the first round, but the Chargers are kind of on the downward slope. So maybe you win that game. So the Patriots as the 2 seed would draw the Chargers. And if they win that game, then the Patriots would draw the highest remaining seed, which would either be Derrick Henry and the Titans, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, or the Bengals as the teams that they would have to play. And it would scare me to death that I would have to go out there and play Patrick Mahomes in the second round of the playoffs and make that kid beat Patrick Mahomes. Because he can't. He is not capable of beating that kind of guy. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing that I will say about Mike Vrabel that I think you've got to say when it comes to Vrabel about yesterday's game, we'll do that next. Stillman and Company, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus, sparkling water with a spark. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How much, Mike, do you feel like his team needs to get a bye, reset, maybe get healthy, and come back a run now down the stretch?
I guess that's where we're at. We got a bye. You know, we got to get healthy mentally and physically and get back to playing football how we know how to play it. Taking care of the football, playing complimentary, knowing the details, you know, a lot of things to improve.
There you go. That was Vrabel yesterday after the Titans lost. So we live in a society where all that matters, you know, Bill Parcells, you are what your record says you are. And there's probably a lot of truth to that. But I'm going to say this just about yesterday's game. I am not saying that Mike Vrabel is a better coach than Bill Belichick. I thought Vrabel absolutely outcoached Belichick yesterday. And honestly, I don't even think it was close.
And Belichick said it in his postgame press conference. We got outcoached.
I mean, I think, and this is crazy, because I went in to yesterday's game, and you all heard me last week saying, you got to run, run, run. You got to run. You got to be willing to punt. You got to eat clock. You got to do all these. The game plan has to be. You cannot ask Ryan Tannehill against that defense to go out there and try to throw the ball. And Vrabel didn't. But there is another coach on the other side. And his job is to get you to do what you don't want to do. What the Patriots don't want to do. And I know Mac Jones' stats looked pretty yesterday and everything else. And again, I don't know what Colin Cowherd is saying, but I guarantee you it's something that is just all just just in love with the performance from Mac Jones and how great Mac Jones is. When you look at Mac Jones' stats, Belichick is telling you how he wants to win with Mac Jones as his quarterback. It's very similar to how Belichick won with Tom Brady throwing 145 yards in a Super Bowl. He wants to win with defense. He wants to control the ball, running the clock. And then if the quarterback throws the ball a little bit, he's fine with that right now. But this is not the 2007 Patriot team where they're trying to go out there and throw it all over the yard. Mac Jones threw for a career-high 310 yards yesterday. How have they been winning with Mac Jones since they've won all these games in a row? They've been winning with 217, 139, 198, and 207. They want to run. How did Ramondre Stevenson do yesterday? Because he's been their big running back. Damian Harris has been their other running back. Brandon Bolden. Those have been their running backs. How did they do yesterday? Stevenson, 9 for 46. Harris, 11 for 40. Bill doesn't want to run it for 86 yards. Bill wants to run it. Bill wants to keep the ball out of the quarterback's hands. Every throw Mac Jones had yesterday was something short. They were dinks and they were dunks. He had the one beautiful throw in the red zone to Bourne for the first touchdown. That was a beautiful
pass by
Mac Jones. I mean, that was a great read at the snap, ball in the air, great play by Bourne. Byard had it covered well. There's no defense for the perfect pass. That was it. Other than that, how'd the Patriots do when they got inside the red zone? Not very good, because Mac Jones is not a big-time, right now, tight-window thrower. Belichick doesn't want the game in his hands. Now, the game wasn't necessarily in his hands because of a lot of the mistakes you made. But Bill wants to run it 30 times right now. And so the game was played the way you wanted it to be played. That's good coaching. That Vrabel goes in there knowing, hey, we have to play a specific way in order to have a chance to win. And if we don't play this way, we will lose. And they did play that way, and they had a chance to win in the second half. They just didn't make the plays. And you know me, I'm usually a coach blamer around here. But I thought Vrabel outcoached Bill. And the other thing that I think makes this a big deal is if Mike Vrabel outcoaches Bill Belichick once, it's like, wow, oh my God, he outcoached Bill Belichick. They've matched up three times. The first time was here at Nissan Stadium, and Vrabel pulled a game plan out of his rear end that nobody saw coming. Bill wanted to put Stephon Gilmore on Corey Davis and just not worry about him. And this was before A.J. Brown was on the Titans. And Bill just want, and instead of saying, oh, wow, okay, they're putting Gilmore on Davis, so I can't do that, Vrabel went right at it. Vrabel said, you're not going to give this guy any help because you don't respect it. And they went right at Gilmore, and they crushed Gilmore. Floyd said he had never seen Tom Brady play a game as bad as they played against the Titans in 2018. Floyd was upset with Belichick's game plan in the 2020 playoff game. I shouldn't say upset, because Floyd wanted the Titans to win. But he was disappointed with Belichick's game plan in 2020. Because he thought that Belichick was so spooked from Mariota and Davis throwing the ball on Gilmore that he conceded the run with Derrick Henry. And that was the perfect game plan for the Titans to win that night. And this time, again, I thought the perfect game plan for the Titans to win. Think about that. Three chances against Belichick. Three times he's outcoached him. And I'm not saying Vrabel's the greatest guy in the world and greatest coach in the world. And you guys know that I'm not the biggest, you know, I am not a Mike Vrabel we trust guy. In fact, I rip Vrabel's ass on a far frequent basis. But I do think that, you know, no one else is going to say it. Everybody's only looking at wins and losses, and I get from a giant national perspective, that's how this league works. But I thought Mike Vrabel outcoached Bill Belichick yesterday. I think it's funny. Some of the national headlines, I think it was NFL.com maybe, or maybe it was ESPN. Some of the national headlines, Belichick proves he's coach of the year with that win yesterday. Vrabel was the better coach yesterday. And Vrabel's not going to win coach of the year. But had he won yesterday, had Elijah Molden made a tackle, had Randy Bullock made a field goal, Had Janoris Jenkins decided to show up, had those things happened, and Vrabel wins, everybody would be talking about his greatest coach, Overland. I thought Vrabel's game plan was excellent yesterday. Thought Downing kind of screwed it up a little bit, but I just thought Vrabel's game plan was fantastic.
To be fair, that was and there may have been an article on NFL.com, but there is an article on ESPN.com. It was the overreactions, or, you know, fair to say, on ESPN.com. Dan Graziano did it. And the first one was Bill Belichick is already a lock for NFL Coach of the Year. Listed that as an overreaction.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy talk. But, I mean, Bill will probably win it, and that's fine. But Bill
was... You mentioned Mike Vrabel in this article as well.
Bill was not the best coach on the field yesterday. Bill was not the best coach on the field. And so we dog them when they lose, and but I'm telling you, Vrabel's game plan, I thought it was outstanding yesterday. Let's go back to your phones. Ryan is up next on the Titans loss. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Ryan.
What's up, guys? Honestly, I know Titans had a lot of injuries yesterday, and there's really no excuse, next man up mentality. But that's got to be Tannehill up in his game. I mean, I'm not saying there's no Aaron Rodgers, but look what Rodgers did against the Cardinals. He had none of his top wide receivers. He was able to elevate his game to make sure they got the win. Tannehill has to do the same thing, especially the amount of money he's getting paid to become a quarterback. And, you know, and talks about quarterback of the year and all that last year. He's got to be elevating his game to elevate the team, put on his back to win, go win a game.
So I just don't think he's capable of doing that. Thank you for your call, Ryan. I don't think Tannehill's capable of doing that. He definitely wasn't capable of doing that against that team yesterday, which is why Vrabel made the right call to not have him do it. I would say this. I think the disappointing element with Ryan Tannehill is that we felt like he added a lot more to the equation of winning than he probably does. And I think there's maybe a lot of truth there. If we have to look at Tannehill and say, good Lord, look at the regression here. Well, he doesn't have Arthur Smith. And, well, he doesn't have Johnny Smith. And, well, he doesn't have Corey Davis. And, well, they should never trade for Julio Jones. And, well, A.J. Brown's here. Well, Derek Henry's here. Well, then I can just go get you anywhere I want. I can go get that. I mean, I can go get Case Keenum. Case Keenum got the Minnesota Vikings to the NFC title game. I can go get that. I can go get Jimmy Garoppolo. I can get those kind of guys. And I don't have to pay him what I'm paying you. And so I can get those guys, and then I can get a Jonnu Smith. But a lot of us, myself included, took the cheese that there was something about Tannehill that he leading this team, you know, elevated the team, and not the team elevating Tannehill. And I think a lot of us now are of the belief that the team has elevated Tannehill. This is why I think Derrick Henry's so good, because I think Derrick makes everybody better. Just like, take all those guys in the Bulls, and I know that Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause are real easy targets to go after. You know, why'd you end the Bulls dynasty when they had this and they had that? And Jerry Reinsdorf says, like, all these guys that were on the Bulls all got bigger contracts somewhere else and never lived up to them. Luke Longley got a contract in Phoenix. He played like 30 more games in his career because Luke Longley was never that good. But he fit a role on Michael Jordan's Bulls. Then he had the name recognition and he gets a big contract. And Pippen went out and got a big contract and never won anything that mattered. And Harper went off and got a contract. And everybody, they all got contracts. That's what Derek's done for all these other people. Corey Davis got his big contract with the Jets. He had one game against the Titans. And other than that, you ain't heard from Corey Davis. What'd they say in the broadcast yesterday about Jonnu Smith? Boy, the Patriots really want to get Jonnu Smith going here because this is the best game.
Really using him a lot against his former team.
Yeah, because Jonnu Smith, because Derek's elevated all these guys. He's elevated Tannehill. He's elevated your offensive line. He's elevated Jonnu Smith. He's elevated Corey Davis. I'm sure he's elevated A.J. Brown a little bit. I mean, that's how good Derek is. And I took the cheese on Tannehill. I took the cheese.
You mentioned the offensive line. And I don't think I have too many nitpicks about the offensive line yesterday. I mean, they created enough holes for Deontay Foreman and Dontrell Hilliard.
But everybody tells me this line's so bad.
I mean, we do hear that this line is so bad. But I mean, I don't have any nitpicks from the game yesterday about the offensive line.
But it's the same line, right?
From the week before?
Uh-huh.
Yes, it is.
And for most of the season?
Yes, it is.
So... What? But you guys tell me that they're you got. I don't. Oh yeah, because the game plan was to run, because it wasn't to drop back 52 times like they did the week before. Vrabel's game plan against Texas is terrible.
We said it. They said it when Derrick Henry got hurt. They said we cannot all of a sudden just recreate what we are because Derrick Henry went down. You can't do that, and that's exactly what went wrong in the Texans.
But they
game.
Did.
But they did.
They did.
And that's what went wrong.
And now they figured out the error in their ways.
And that's what surprised me so much about the Patriots' inability to stop the run yesterday, because they could not. No way in the world would they assume that the Titans would stick to their game plan against the Patriots that they did against the Texans.
Huh?
No way would the Patriots believe that the Titans would have stuck to their game plan.
Sure. I mean, I'll say this. I heard a former coach who I actually believe in talking about this as opposed to everybody else, and the former coach was like, yeah, the Titans have to just get back to being able to run the ball for 3 yards a carry and just be okay with it. You know, they have to get back to just running the ball, and that's why I tell people, punting is not a bad thing. Punting when you can't get lined up and the ball ends up at your 35, that is a bad thing. Punting is not bad. Punting is okay.
When you got a pretty solid punter.
Fumbling is not okay. Interceptions are not okay. Punting is okay. Vrabel went for it on the first touchdown drive, and I didn't like this call. Vrabel went for it on 4th and 1, like right around midfield, like maybe at the 43, 46, something like that. I thought it was a bad decision by Vrabel. Because I'm thinking about you want Mac Jones to have to drive all the way down the field to score. You already did exactly what you didn't want to do at the start of the game, which was commit a penalty and have a bad punt return that puts the ball at the 36-yard line. Well, you got the best punter in the world. Put Mac Jones on the 3-yard line. And Vrabel didn't do it. It ended up working out. I still didn't like the decision, though. Back to your phones next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I absolutely love those guys. Hiller has been taking care of my home for 3 years, and I'm about to make it 4. And I wouldn't change a bit, because I absolutely love my friends at Hiller. And when they come to take care of something, they get the job done because they know their guarantee, which is happy you will be or the service is free. Hiller is giving away cash for the holidays, and they're celebrating from now until the end of the year with special deals. They want to make sure every child experiences the joy of Christmas this year, so they're donating $50 in toys for Toys for Tots with every tankless water heater purchase. And they're giving away a $250 Visa gift card with each unit. Get a $500 Visa gift card when you buy select new HVAC systems, or get $500 in the Visa gift card with the purchase of any new whole home generator. More specials are online at happyhiller.com. As always, happy will be or the service is free. These deals are only available until the end of the year, so schedule today. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Well, obviously, health has a lot to do with it. How confident are you that the team can regain its footing due to 5 games left?
I'm 100% confident. You know, excited that we have that opportunity out in front of us. You know, as things hopefully start coming together for us a little bit. We clean up some of the details and the turnovers, obviously, as we get this thing going again, we're going to be in good shape.
There you go. That was Tannehill yesterday. Let's get to your phones. As promised, phone lines delivered or driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in and says, so Vrabel outcoached Bill Belichick. Would you care to explain the goal-to-goal situation where instead of running the ball 4 times to get the touchdown, he passes twice, and on 4th down, the ball is intercepted in the end zone? Your Titans bias is showing.
So I think there's a difference here. Like, first of all, I mean, let's keep it real. Like, is there anybody in town who goes after Mike Vrabel as much as I do?
That is pretty fair. You're up there.
I mean, I'm the one person who has asked Vrabel a question that he's literally turned and said, I guess I'm just not a very good coach, Jared. Like, I'm the one person, and I like Vrabel, and I think Vrabel likes me. But if I think Vrabel's doing something wrong, I'm going to rip his ass. And I think I've done that over the last 4 years to the point that Vrabel knows that I do it. And I don't care, and he doesn't care. Well, maybe he cares, I don't know. But the bigger thing here is Bill wants to play a certain way, right? It's easy when you win to say, you know what, Bill played this certain way and because, and I'm going to give you an example. Bill's first Super Bowl against the Rams. They played the greatest show on turf. Kurt Warner was the quarterback. All those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk, Ike Bruce, I believe.
Isaac Bruce.
I think he's in the Hall of Fame.
I believe so, yes.
Torrey Holt's probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I thought he was better than Isaac Bruce, but I don't think he even really belongs in the Hall of Fame. But that's neither here nor there. All those guys are going to end up in the Hall of Fame. And it's easy to say that Bill Belichick outcoached Mike Martz. Because everybody thinks that Mike Martz is kind of a doofus and that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. But it's really the style of game that was played. The greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, had the number one offense in the NFL that year. They were scoring points. I mean, just their wins in the playoffs alone. They scored 45 on Green Bay. They scored 29 on Philadelphia. They scored 17 on the Patriots. That was the way Bill wanted to play, which was you guys move it all up and down the field, and then we're either going to get a turnover or we're going to hold you to field goal. But we're going to be physical, and we're going to make the game physical, and that's exactly what they did. They got their turnovers. They had the interception return for a touchdown. They had the one drive where Brady threw a beautiful pass to David Patton in the back of the end zone, and Kurt Warner still got his. He threw for 365 yards. They moved the ball all over the field. But that was the style Bill wanted to play. And in the end, it was 17-7. John Madden was saying, you got to take it to overtime. You know, run the clock out. Go to overtime. Let's just say they had done that. Bill had a masterful game plan in that game. They go to overtime. They lose the coin toss. St. Louis moves down the field, kicks a field goal. Rams win the Super Bowl. Did Bill still not have a good game plan?
He did.
But they lost.
You can have a good game plan and lose.
And that's my point.
And that's exactly what happened yesterday with the Titans. A good game plan and sloppy play.
And we go off sometimes when Vrabel has a bad game plan and they still win. We go off. So to me, this is, I mean, I think you said Bill said it after the game. I mean, I think that was a message for the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bill telling the guys, hey, they should not have been playing. They should not have run for 300 yards on us. But that's, I mean, I thought Vrabel coached a great game yesterday. Now, you want to talk about the goal to go situations? I've already lost my mind on Todd Downing about that. I mean, you got to run the ball there. That, you got to run the ball. And after the Foreman fumble, the three passes, those are the two things that got me with the coaching. What's next?
On that same note, another texter texts in and says, Vrabel did not outcoach Bill because he has not fired Todd Downing yet. Our offensive coordinator position is a revolving door, but Bill has Josh McDaniels locked down. Why? And why do we have such a scrub, can't call Pop Warner level plays offensive coordinator? Bad coaching on Vrabel's part.
So I don't think Downing has been that bad for the season.
I wouldn't say he can't call Pop Warner football games.
I do think that Downing had a bad day yesterday, and he can't have bad
games. He made a couple bad calls.
If you have, here's the thing about a bad day, and this was something that I stole from Floyd, which was he was talking one time, he was at some kind of charity gala or something, or whatever the way he sets this story up. And the Oilers had just gotten their ass kicked. And somebody came up to him and they, you know, what happened in the game? Ah, you know, Warren Moon just had a bad day today. And you know what that's like? And Floyd said, the guy looked at him and said, I'm a cardiologist. I can't have a bad day. And so we can sit here all we want and talk about, hey, you know, Downing had a bad day. Molden had a bad day. Byard had a bad day. Bullock had a bad day. All these guys had bad days. Tannehill, now, I thought Tannehill was fine yesterday, but has had bad days. This guy just has a bad day. Well, you only get one crack at it in the playoffs. You only get one shot at it in the playoffs, and there's only one team that takes home the trophy. So you can't have bad days. This isn't hockey where you get seven cracks at it. You get one shot. And right now, if the playoffs were to start today, you'd get Buffalo at home, and then you'd have to go to New England. So you'd have to play them again. And you can't have bad days. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your Titans calls and texts. But coming up next, college football movement all around. We'll get into the college coach movement. But I have a bigger issue that I think college football has to address. And I'm not sure they're going to be smart enough to do it. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Lincoln Riley's move from Oklahoma to USC is massive in an already historic college football coaching carousel. No hire in this cycle meant more for a university, a conference, and a region than USC. And they bring in Riley, who has won multiple conference championships, made multiple college football playoff appearances, and coached multiple Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks at Oklahoma. This will galvanize USC, their recruiting, their fans, their ability to rise up in an incredibly winnable Pac-12 conference, especially with an expanded playoff likely on the horizon. So massive news for USC and their fans. For Oklahoma, it's a huge disappointment. He came in and succeeded Bob Stoops and elevated the program in certain ways on his offense, his quarterback development. That will very much be missed. And while the Oklahoma fans were breathing a sigh of relief on Saturday night when Riley said he wasn't going to LSU, angst and anger likely on Sunday as he is now headed to USC to be the new head coach of the Trojans. A massive move by athletic director Mike Bone. Huge for USC, huge for the Pac-12, and huge for the West Coast.
Oh, it's so big, Lincoln Riley, this coach who, how many national titles Lincoln Riley got?
None.
Oh, okay.
And this quarterback whisperer who this, you know, this quarterback god that he brought in that was supposed to be the next coming who was benched this season.
Yeah. So Lincoln Riley goes to USC. And now here it comes. Billy Napier's at Florida. What the hell's LSU going to do? I don't know. We got more coaching. Virginia Tech's open. There was some other coach.
TCU's open.
No, they hired Tony Dykes. But who, there was one of these ones that fired their coach the other day that I was like, oh, wow. Cutcliffe, he's out of Duke.
Yes.
I don't know what the hell Duke thinks they're going to do, but that's neither here nor there. And so now it's football coaching search season, and that should be exciting, right? Because there's nothing that is more talked about on TV and radio and everything else than this coach going here, that coach going there, or this plane landing there, or the flight tracker going here. Heck, Tennessee's even roped in on this because what about Josh Heupel going to Oklahoma? Could that be a possibility? And I'm going to say this. I think it's all bad for college football. I think it's really bad for college football.
Why?
Because we had great games Saturday. Auburn-Alabama was a great game. Michigan's win over Ohio State was a great game. Bedlam had serious playoff implications. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. And I wouldn't say it was a great game because both teams fumbled the game away, but it was a down-to-the-wire barn burner. Saturday was a great day of college football.
It was.
And nobody's celebrating it. Nobody is celebrating the just right to the bone. You know, when we live in a world where the only thing that matters in college football is can you make the playoff or not? That's all that matters. And we're living in college football, and it's rivalry weekend, and we get Alabama, you know, stays alive. Oklahoma gets knocked out. Ohio State, I don't know what you make of them now. I mean, just great. And nobody's talking about it. And instead, what you're talking about is all these schools that are unhappy with their coach, that are firing their coaches and going out and hiring guys that might be good. I don't know. Florida hired Billy Napier to be their next head coach. Now, Dan Mullen was not my cup of tea, but he did win some games at Florida. And I can tell you right now that most people coming into this season, if you said who's a better coach, Dan Mullen or Billy Napier, would probably say Dan Mullen. Now, I don't know Billy Napier. Maybe Billy Napier is the next coming of Nick Saban. I don't know. But it's like all this hoopla and all this is about these coaches, and every single school, all they care about anymore is getting to the playoff. And the Lincoln Riley hire is a total example of that. Everybody thinks he's a good coach because he gets to the playoff. You heard the clip that we just played coming back from break where they talked about elevating the program. Did Lincoln Riley elevate the program? Guess where they were when Bob Stoops retired? The playoff. So he kept them where they were, which was the playoff. But everybody thinks Lincoln Riley's a great coach because Lincoln Riley has been to the playoff a couple times. Has he even won a playoff game? I don't
believe
he has.
He's 0-4 in the playoffs.
Okay. But he's a great coach. I saw, and I don't know if this is true or just somebody just making up stuff on Twitter, I saw he's getting a $110 million contract. he's getting their USC is buying both of his houses at $500,000 over the asking price with a $1 million bonus in Norman, Oklahoma. And he gets family use 24/7 for a private jet. I'm sorry, Lincoln Riley ain't done enough for that.
Wow.
Lincoln Riley ain't done enough for that.
Nick Saban deserves that. And I would say that's the only coach in college football that deserves that.
But that's where we are. Like, that's where, and it's bad for the sport where the playoff, and I keep telling you all this. Think about these games on Saturday. Michigan, Ohio State doesn't matter that much if there's a 12-team playoff. Doesn't matter that much because both those teams are going to make the playoff. In a 12-team playoff, both of them make it. So now you're cheapening these games. And so the games themselves aren't becoming that important. And now it's all about the coaching and who's going here and who's going there and what plane is going over here. And now you've turned into the NBA. Because the July 1st period of the NBA is way more interesting than the NBA itself. I'm sorry, I haven't watched a regular season NBA game start to finish this year. And I'm not sure I have any plans to do so. Have you?
No.
Okay. And that's what you're doing to college football.
So is your problem with the coaching? Is your problem with the 12-team playoff?
I think it's kind of everything wrapped into one. I think it is the fact that, as Nick Saban said, you go to a playoff, you're gonna cheapen this, you're not going to value certain things. He said that you're not going to care about winning the SEC anymore. And I think there's a lot of truth there.
Well,
that's what this has become.
In this current model, winning the SEC would give you an automatic bye in the first week. So that isn't necessarily true. Winning the SEC gives you a huge advantage in the playoff. 12-team playoff isn't even coming to fruition yet. It might. It's looking like it was a sure thing. Now it's looking it's not as much of a sure thing. But I think with the coaching carousel, you are right in the fact that there were so many great games on Saturday.
Nobody's talking about them.
That's not true. People were talking about them.
They were on Saturday.
Yes.
But they're not talking about them anymore.
And that's also just part of college football. That's part of any kind of sport. Whenever there's a move from a big-name coach that's going to, from one big-name program to another big-name program, it doesn't matter if it's college football or hockey or baseball or the NFL. It doesn't matter. That's a huge storyline.
The NFL does not allow you to make moves like that inside the week of the Super Bowl. For that reason, you cannot hire your head coach inside the week of the Super Bowl. For that reason.
So is your problem with the timing of it?
Oh, my problem is how it has ruined every...
Because I think the coaching carousel makes college football so much more exciting.
I think it's totally the opposite. I think what it does is it takes away from the games. Nobody cares about the games anymore. I don't know. LSU played Texas A&M this week, right?
Yes.
Like, Texas A&M's a good team.
And LSU beat them.
I had no idea.
In the very last few seconds.
I had no idea and nobody cared.
Like, I think that you are so off.
Oh,
so many people care.
Check the ratings. Watch the TV ratings. Michigan, Ohio State is going to score one of the highest television ratings over the last, God. I bet you the ratings for that and the ratings for the Iron Bowl are going to be just through the roof. And guess what? Nobody's talking about it today. And that's bad for your sport. Like, that's
what do you mean
bad
by nobody's talking about it?
Are we breaking it down? Are we saying,
well, we're in Nashville and there was a Titans game yesterday.
What do we think about Auburn at the end of the game choking it away? And what do we...
We could talk about it.
But we're not.
Because there was a Titans game yesterday.
And they're not talking about it on TV. But they are talking about the coaching carousel on TV. And like on ESPN. And I'd love to see what they're talking about on... pardon the interruption. And I'm sure that because they work in with all the different little things. They got 20 seconds for everything.
Right.
I'm sure they worked in like a tidbit about Michigan, Ohio State. But I bet you the number one college football story is the coaching. And that makes you the NBA. And nobody wants to be the NBA, right?
What do you mean by that? Like, it's player-centric?
Oh, all anybody cares about, the NBA. I mean, we went through like a five-year period in the NBA where the only thing that mattered was who were the Lakers going to sign on July 1st and who were the Knicks going to sign. And it was like every day was like, well, there's a report that AD wants to play with KD, but the problem is that KD is talking to Kyrie, and we know that Kyrie doesn't want to play with LeBron, and that's why AD and Kyrie probably aren't going to get along, because AD wants to be with LeBron, and he's going to force a trade, because KD told Kyrie, who said to Russell Westbrook and James Harden, and that's the league. That's the league.
It's very dramatic, yes.
The NBA it is very more dramatic than the Milwaukee Bucks winning the championship. And that's bad. It makes your games like, who cares about the games? Get me to free agent season.
Well, you just said the only thing that really matters is making the playoffs. So, yeah, that makes the games matter. Michigan, Ohio State, huge playoff implications. Like you said, Oklahoma, Oklahoma
State.
Nobody, huge
who's talking about Oklahoma, Oklahoma State right now? They're not even talking about Oklahoma, Oklahoma State in Oklahoma.
Probably are.
No. Why would they talk about that game? Their coach just left.
There's a lot to talk about.
Hey, trust me, I've been on the radio. Titans lost a playoff game at New England. Mike Mularkey got fired. That was on a Saturday. Mike Mularkey got fired on Monday morning. We never, ever, ever talked about that Titan-Patriot game. Ever. And I don't think that that's right. And I just think that this is college football. College football is becoming the NBA. And in the NBA, if you got a team and you like your team, then you care about your team. But you're not. Nobody cares about the whole NBA anymore. And I'm telling you, that's where we're getting with college football, which is, all right, call me when the games really matter. You're turning into baseball. You're turning into all these other sports that are team-specific. If you got a team, you love your team. But that's not. They want to be like the NFL. And I'm not saying they're ever going to be as popular as the NFL, but college football probably has the best chance to be second to the NFL, and they're just blowing it because they just take the money at every turn. And that's why if I was running college football, I would put in a coaching freeze, like where you cannot take a job until the bowl season starts. Then you can start taking jobs. And I'd have to move recruiting back, and I get it. But I want people talking about the games. I mean, Bob Stoops is coaching a bowl game.
Yes.
What the hell? This guy has been on TV all year. Do you realize that would be like if Floyd were still alive and he went off Jared and the GM to go coach the Titans game?
Yes, I do realize that.
Like, what a joke. It's a joke.
I just think you're picking out all of these issues that you have with college football. And I go back, and I know we joke about it. I just don't think that you like college football.
I think college football has ruined itself to where you can't even celebrate the great games anymore. I mean, that Michigan win, that was a great win.
The Iron Bowl was so fun.
But that was a great win for Michigan.
It was.
That had so much. I mean, there are so many storylines, even in Nashville, Tennessee, that matter from that Michigan game. And if I hosted a show on if I hosted a SEC, well, I guess SEC's, you know, kind of, you know, you have to talk about the SEC or else you get in trouble. But if you hosted a college football show, ESPNU, like if we had Trevor on right now, we wouldn't be talking about Michigan's win. We'd be talking about all these coaches. Who's going to get the LSU job? Was Lincoln Riley going to succeed at Southern Cal? Is this, that, or the other? And so what happens is now everybody is so just, you know, dialed in, just been in that all these coaches have to either get to the playoffs or they're total bums.
Well, that's all that matters is the playoffs.
Okay, but now your season's over on September 17th because you lost two games. And I don't think that's good for the sport. Just like these
then
baseball
teams. What's your
teams,
problem with the 12-team
like
playoff?
These teams
because that
tank,
would solve what's bugging you about it.
It wouldn't solve what's bugging me. In fact, it would just cheapen it more. Like the Michigan game wouldn't matter now. I mean, this year, could you imagine if you had two teams? So Georgia's going, right?
Yeah.
But they better beat Alabama.
Yes.
Or else they're not going. So Georgia's going. Who's number two? Is Michigan going? Is Cincinnati going? Who goes? Who goes this year? And that's the thing is when we had two teams, we complained and complained and complained because we would feel bad for Cincinnati if they got left out. But it makes, like, the Cincinnati AAC title game actually matter because now Cincinnati has to go out and win that game by 800 and hope that Michigan loses the Big Ten. And we got to watch the Georgia-Alabama game because if Alabama beats Georgia, now who's out in the SEC with the two? But now it's like, okay, you know. So now the only way you can get yourself to watch it, and these fan bases are just dumping on their coaches, And it's just, to me, you spend all this time hyping up the season. You go into the season, and 90% of these programs are done by October 1st anyways, as far as what their fan base cares about. And then you fire the coach, and then you go get Billy Napier. And now it's like Florida resets again. And guess what? If Billy Napier's not any good, then Florida becomes Texas. And you don't want, you know, where everyone just fires a coach. And then that's just like, that's what college football is. 615-737-1025. Add that to the list of things if you want to get in on that. But it just drives me insane. 615-737-1025. Do we feel the Titans are heading to the bye week? Do we feel that the Titans are in a good place going to the bye week? Do we feel like the Titans are in a bad place given the way the last two games have gone? We'll discuss that next. Stillman and Company, it's Reaction Monday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.